So today we're going to continue on, actually, of the Lord's the reasons why Jesus stayed 40 days. And I shared a lot of things and focused on last week the final reinstatement for Peter, where he says, "Follow me," and then he says, "You follow me." But I wanted to focus on today the other one that I talked about, why he stayed, is to instruct the disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So, the title of this message is Wait for the Promise of the Holy Spirit. The title of the message is Wait for the Promise of the Spirit. And it comes from this passage, Book of Acts 1 through 8. And it's kind of reflecting on his instruction, plus more clarity. And the statement, wait, comes out in verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He instructed the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, what the Father had promised. And of course, that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And it's in line with what he did for the period of 40 days. Over the period of 40 days in verse 3, some of the things he did actually is written here. Verse 2, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he has chosen. So during the 40 days, he gave orders to the apostles. But you know, it says by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So it was never without the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Spirit, and he instructed the disciples by the Spirit. To these, he also presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs and appearances to them over the period of 40 days. So again, he appeared to them here, appeared to them there, to this person, these people. And also to Thomas, the doubting Thomas. So he presented himself, showed himself to them so that they would be convinced that indeed, as Jesus prophesied three times, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it again three times. And so, sure enough, the temple referring to Jesus, he died, but he was raised. And speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So this one I didn't mention, but it's right here in the book of Acts. During the 40 days, he also spoke to them of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Things concerning the kingdom of God. So there were some further teachings on the kingdom of God. And then comes verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. So, thus far, they spent 3 years with Jesus. So they were with Jesus. While they were with Jesus, Jesus had the Holy Spirit, though Jesus breathed the Spirit into them. This is a period of time when the indwelling Spirit has not come. But they enjoyed the Holy Spirit because Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit to them. And so, and then they ran away and betrayed Peter, betrayed Jesus three times. And then when they were in the state of failure, being a failed disciple, Jesus resurrected and showed himself and he reinstated them. And so they even witnessed his death, burial, and resurrection. So they had no doubt about that. They believed Jesus is, Lord God, and he died, he was buried, and then he was resurrected. So they believed in Christ. But somehow, they were still not in a empowered state. Even though they were with Jesus for 3 years, they were afraid and ran away. Now that they were, Jesus came back and he reinstated them, you know, they were encouraged, but still, that was not the end of it. Jesus said, you know, this is a great time for 40 days, but remember to wait for the Father's promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So this message is about, you know, pretty much, why must we wait? You know, we believe in Christ, and definitely we have the Holy Spirit if the faith is genuine. And the Spirit comes in and regenerates us, and he begins to transform us. So there's definitely work going on when we become believers. But somehow there's a command also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just have the Spirit, but be the Holy Spirit to be preeminent and be ruling over all of our lives, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, but be full of the Holy Spirit, right? That means we can probably, as believers, we can have the Spirit, but we could quench the Holy Spirit, and we cannot experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So for the disciples, even though they were with Jesus so much, and they even were encouraged by Jesus during the 40 days, Jesus is saying, this is not enough. You need to wait for the promise of the Father, promise of the Holy Spirit. So today's message, again, is just simply, why must we wait? Why must we wait? There's 4 points. Go pretty fast. First one is, because Jesus commanded us. Jesus commanded the disciples. We must wait for the Holy Spirit, so there must be a reason. Jesus saying, wait for the Holy Spirit. Even though you've seen me die, buried, and resurrected, and you've been encouraged by me, but, you know, and then I'm leaving, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell in you and really to help you to continue to follow. So the first thing is, it says here in verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So he commanded them. And so it goes along with he by the Holy Spirit up in verse 2, given orders to the apostles. He given orders to the apostles. So he gave a lot of orders. You know, he said, wait for me by the Sea of Galilee. So that was a very important thing. Those who came to the Sea of Galilee were able to be blessed to be reinstated. And there he ordered them, especially to Peter, feed my sheep. And then later on he says, follow me. Remember my call, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And remember, you follow me, Peter. Don't worry about other disciples. You focus on following me. So he gave other orders, but here's a very specific command that he also gave is, wait. It says, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise that the Father has given. So this is also in Luke 24, 49. Let's see. Let's go to Luke 24, 49. Luke 24, 49. Okay, we're actually flipping the Bible because we don't have verses on there yet, on there anymore. 24:49. Let's all read that together. Okay? Luke 24:49. Ready, go. So it says here, more clearly, I'm sending forth the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, but you are to stay in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. So Jesus, we need to wait for the promise of the Father, promise of the Holy Spirit, because that's what Jesus instructed. Jesus wanted them to not leave Jerusalem. In a way, this is kind of like a prerequisite. I mean, I'm going to talk about it a little more later, because we know the verse, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But before they go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, Jesus' instruction was stay in Jerusalem. I'm giving you this instruction, but go make disciples of all nations, but stay in Jerusalem first until you are clothed with power on high. So there's a period of time when perhaps we shouldn't be running around trying to be a witness in a way without the power, without being clothed. So we need to wait in Jerusalem instead of running around Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Perhaps there's a period of time when we need to learn how to wait until we are clothed with power. Because it's a command. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait there in Jerusalem. The reason why we wait is because Jesus commanded us to wait for that promise. And you know what? I wanted to speak on this also because we're kind of like culminating into Pentecost. What is Pentecost? It's 50th day after the Passover. 50 day after Passover. So how long has the Passover or the Easter been? I gave two messages in the past. This is the third message. So it's been 3 weeks. How many weeks are in 50 days? Or minus one? 7 weeks. So if we 3 weeks went by, how many weeks left until Pentecost? 4 more weeks. 4 more weeks. And on the 50th day is a Pentecost that actually did happen, but it's also a Jewish holiday. Jewish people, they celebrate Passover and they, you know, celebrate, you know, Pentecost. And so I wanted to speak on this because I want us to think about waiting for the Holy Spirit. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit by faith, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was a time when, I mean, the disciples had the Holy Spirit from Jesus, but it was not the same kind of Holy Spirit. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit and indwelling Spirit being full in the disciple. And so I would like to present this message in a way, perhaps in 4 weeks, let's imagine being filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing our own Pentecost. And so, you know, I hope to do certain things in preparation myself. And remember Jesus' command, wait for the promise of the Spirit. Wait for the the empowering, clothed with power from high. That is Jesus' command for us as well. Not just believe in Christ. Not just go to Bible study, not just go to church, not just do the right thing, but wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit to be clothed. Second reason why we need to wait for the Holy Spirit. It goes on here, wait for what the Father had promised in verse 4, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So if Jesus, whenever Jesus said this, not many days from now is after Jesus finishes 40 days and he ascended on high. From the 40th day to the 50th day is how many days? 10 days. So it's not many days. 10 days is not many days. So Jesus said this. Not many days from now. You know, as I said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, John's baptism didn't have a promise of being clothed with power from high. His baptism was water baptism, you know. People went into the water and they came out. That's when we get our, That's when we get our, you know, water baptism example from. But his baptism was a baptism of repentance, just repenting for the sins of Israel, repenting for their own sin is a baptism of repentance. And also to believe in the person who is coming after him. To believe in the person who is coming after him. But, you know, they didn't know who that was. When John was baptizing 6 months before Jesus came, you know, the person is coming, the Messiah is coming. We don't know who that person is, but believe in him. So it's a kind of preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. But it was a baptism of repentance, and it didn't clothe them with the Holy Spirit. But referring to Jesus, you will be, you know, Jesus saying, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now. So what's the second reason? Is because we'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. First is Jesus commanded us to wait for him, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Second reason is because you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is coming, but you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. The key word here is we need to wait because we want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you know, we already talked about baptism, right? So the meaning of the baptism is the external expression of the inward reality that takes place. Baptism is like going into the water, being washed by the blood of the Lamb, symbolizing, and then he resurrects. And the meaning includes being washed by the blood of the Lamb. But it means you've been crucified with Christ, you've been buried, and then you've been resurrected, right? So this is what happened spiritually when you believed and the Holy Spirit came in. You already been baptized spiritually by the Holy Spirit. Who got baptized recently? Oh, Ding Chin, Kevin, and Kaushik. You guys remember what that means, that you were baptized? Yeah, the water thing is just, water thing is the formality. But it's important. But what it symbolizes is what, you know, really blesses us. What it symbolizes is Holy Spirit baptism had already taken place. So when Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, it is a command, but he considers Holy Spirit baptism is necessary. Before, they had the Holy Spirit from Jesus, but this was like now the transition of the Old Testament Holy Spirit who comes in and out. Christ's time Holy Spirit, whom Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. And then the transition is now the Holy Spirit is going to come and indwell in them and do the work of the Holy Spirit. And we could do a whole message on what's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have some even Old Testament symbol of when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, you'll be comforted. You know, the mountains will be lowered and the valleys will be filled. And there's a healing going on when the Holy Spirit comes. There's a comforting going on. If there's a brokenness, if there's brokenness in us, Holy Spirit heals us. So more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to experience the healing of the Holy Spirit. Garland of grace, you know. So, this is just one point of the Holy Spirit, but there's many. But about being comforted and healed, I believe it's also related to nobody need to teach you about God. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will know God. The Holy Spirit reveals God, of course, in conjunction with the Word, but through life experience, God reveals himself, and you will know God is love. God is sovereign. God is a healer. God is a comforter. Knowing means not just knowledge, experiential knowledge. If the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit is full, we will experience and know God, not by knowledge, but by experience. So there's power of healing in his love. So there's comfort and healing when the Holy Spirit is filled. Some of the brokenness that we experience when we're young, whether through my own sin or other people's sin against me or just the environment, whatever caused my brokenness, more we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we know God experientially, God wants to heal us. It's always good to visit my Korean navigator friends in Korea. Why? Because I see more brothers and sisters my age. You know, all the guys that I was training with, there must have been maybe 40 guys in the Korean Navs when I was there as a trainee. Most of them are still there. And they're just my age, 63. I was the kind of the average age there, plus or minus. But you know, these are Seoul national guys. They're kind of like the cream of the crop. So to get there, they studied and they just, you know, focused on study, no social. They're just kind of slightly like geeky, not slightly, majorly geeky. And they're not so, they don't have social grace. They're not sporty either. But somehow they, you know, joined up with the navigators. They were trained as a disciple of Christ and into spiritual basics, having a relationship with God. Somehow I saw in these geeky, kind of slightly off socially kind of guys start getting more healed and mature. And now I see them as these guys are really spirit-filled guys. They're calm. They're just kind of very gracious. There's just that overflowing grace out of them. I go evangelize in Tsinghua, and when I meet these Tsinghua students, they're really smart, but they're also similar to Seoul National. They're kind of like not quite emotionally balanced. I'm not sure if Josh, do you evangelize in Tsinghua? Do you see that they're pretty smart, but they're slightly kind of quirky, right? Yeah, you know, I kind of see that. But you know, I know that when the Holy Spirit goes in, that they could be healed. I'm meeting with this guy named Tom, and when I first met him, he was kind of like shaking. But we met together two times now. He shaved his beard. That was kind of strange looking. Asians having beard is pretty strange. It's not even a beard. It's like strands. But he seems, our second meeting after that, seemed he's calm and more collective. So he believed in Christ, and I could see already the Holy Spirit healing him. So there's many things the Holy Spirit does when we are baptized. That means we are crucified, buried, and resurrected, that our sins have been crucified, buried, and we are set free from guilt, fear, and shame. And there's much impact as a result of being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit and you need some healing, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit to be more filled in us so that it would bring healing. You know, we talked about with some people, we struggle with this. The problem could be these things. We could kind of analytically assess where my problem comes from. You might even have to be able to kind of root out, where's the root of my problem? Where did it start and why is it happening? Even if we analyze and work through our issues and somewhat we think we know it, it doesn't have power to heal. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit to touch those areas and bring healing, and the knowledge of God's love and his comfort and his healing power needs to touch these areas where supernaturally we experience healing through further baptism has occurred, but we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. That's why we need to wait. Because we are baptized. We are to be baptized in the Spirit, to be full of the Holy Spirit, so that the greater work of the Holy Spirit would take place. Thirdly, you know, it talks about, you know, when his kingdom, the disciples talk about, Lord, at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel. Kind of like a side comment. Because these disciples are still thinking that the kingdom to be restored was on earth of Israel. But, of course, Jesus is talking about another kingdom. The time and epoch which the Father fixed on his own authority, you know, they will not know. It is not for you to know the time and epoch. But for now, for the kingdom of God to come on earth, he will restore a heavenly kingdom. You know, when he comes and there's a 1,000-year reign and so on. But for now, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the sea. So we know this passage, but why do we wait? Why must we wait? It's because it's the Lord's command and his desires that we be baptized. We be baptized, thoroughly baptized, and experience the result of that baptism in our lives. Through faith, we have the Holy Spirit. But we need to be experiencing the fullness. We need to wait for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the deeper work of the Spirit will take place in our lives. And this is a prerequisite, actually, before we go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There's got to be deeper work taking place. More, and plus, more you experience a personal transformation, you have a greater testimony that baptism needs to be shown by evidence. The Holy Spirit is full, and there's an impact of the Holy Spirit. But the other impact here, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. One thing is power. That's another reason why we need to wait for the Holy Spirit to receive power, to be clothed with power on high. It is his command for us to wait. He wants us to be thoroughly baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, but to receive power. But what is this power related to? To being a witness to the remotest part of this. So we need to be empowered also by the, not only the healing power and all the other transforming power that the Holy Spirit brings in our lives, but power to represent the kingdom during this time. We need the power. You know, I am guilty of this because my philosophy of training prior no longer is when people are not, if they believe and they have grown to a certain place of spiritual basics and actually, there's a lot of assumptions. If they were juniors by that time, you should have at least a couple of years of discipleship, and you should be prepared. If you've gone through servant training for a couple of years, then you should be better ready. And then when they graduate, and they say, "Oh, I want to be a part-time staff," I kind of, okay, I assume they're better ready, and okay, you want to, oh, great, you want to be. Everybody enjoyed people becoming a part-time staff. But through many of these experiences, just realizing, just because people want to be a part-time staff doesn't mean they're empowered to be a part-time staff. And I learned this the hard way, including sending people overseas as a missionary. Because just because people are available does not mean they're empowered to do the kingdom work. But what this passage is saying is Jesus is commanding us to wait. It's a command. Be thoroughly baptized. Be thoroughly spirit-filled and experience the healing power of what being crucified, buried, and resurrected, you know, resurrected into a newness of life. Experience that thoroughly, because that's where the testimony comes from. Powerful testimony. More you experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit and healing you, that's where the testimony comes from. But you also need power by the Holy Spirit to be able to be bold and courageous. Holy Spirit gives us boldness. You remember in the Book of Acts, chapter 4, you know, they were praying and the earth shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the second time they were with the Spirit. So filling with the Spirit is not just one time. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you got to manage that by staying close to Jesus and being obedient to. Because, you know, we could do other things that quenches the Holy Spirit. That's why it says quench, grieve, and resist the Holy Spirit. Even Christians who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you quench, resist, and grieve the Holy Spirit, you could be less filled. And then you pray and repent, and then, you know, then again the Holy Spirit is released, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit is filled, then you're full of courage, wanting to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. So here, particularly, means power to have that courage and boldness to be able to proclaim the good news, to be a witness. Yep, that's what it says in Luke 24, we just quoted that. Wait on high, wait to be clothed with power on high. Wait. Am I saying that right? Clothed is not, okay. Okay, I don't need to say clothed. Okay, I mean, I could always depend on Jeremy to give me correct grammar. To be clothed with power on high. Right? So this is a prerequisite, and like I said, I've been guilty of this. I've, you know, prematurely appointed people, sent people, whether or not, you know, properly clothed with power from high. And we need to be honest about this and say it's okay where we are, and it's not a shame if we're less clothed, less filled. We just need to be sincere and honest about where we are and wait and hope to be clothed with power. I was talking to my sister about, yeah, there's some issues in the ministry and some things that I need to work out. And my sister goes, you know why? You need to pray more. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit more. Then you won't have problem in the ministry. And I said, I stand convicted. I need to pray more. I need to be filled with the Spirit more, you know? It's not like I'm not filled with the Spirit, but then I need to be filled with the Spirit more. And then I said, I think our ministry is not exhibiting fruitfulness as much as I like to see. You know why? Because people are not filled with the Spirit. They need to be baptized with the Spirit for one, but they need to be filled with the Spirit. You know, to be fruitful. And I said, I guess that's true. Well, this is what this passage says. Wait for the promise of the Spirit, Jesus' command. Be baptized, thoroughly experience the fullness of the Spirit. Receive the power from high, to be able to do what we're called to do on earth. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The second part, in order to do the second part, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to kind of assess where we are. You know, not to judge ourselves and condemn ourselves. No, just kind of see where we are and say, God, I need more filling. Would you agree that you all need some more feeling, as I do? Should we be waiting for a greater filling of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Let's target the Pentecost day. How many weeks from now? 4 weeks. I'm going to talk about next week how to prepare for that. What can we do to prepare in 4 weeks? That will be 3 weeks after, by next week. One thing just is improve your prayer life. Just like what my sister, you need to pray more. So last Friday, we had a Bible study on prayer. And so one of my applications is to pray more. And so that's something you could start with. But the third reason is to receive power of the Holy Spirit to be bold and courageous to do the commands that God, Jesus, has given us. Fourth and last reason. I'm done. So that we could be a witness. Wait for the promise of the Father, promise of the Holy Spirit, so that we could be a witness. We could be a witness. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That means you are to go be a witness, invite people to believe, but also to be a disciple. So he wants us to wait for the Holy Spirit, and so that we can experience thorough internal experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. He wants us to wait for the Spirit to be empowered for whatever God is calling us to do. But what he wants us to do is to be a witness. Going back to Luke 24, but let's read a few more passages before that. Luke 24, 46 through 48. Okay, let's read that together. Luke 24, 46 through 48. We read the 49, just the 48. Ready as I go. Then it says, wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from high. But to do what? Verse 46 says, he said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin must be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So this is a slightly different way to put it, but it's essentially the same with a little more specific. We are to be a witness, and it says here, you are witnesses of these things. You have witnessed these things. So when you're empowered, you are to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witness what? It says here that Christ suffered. He was raised from the dead on the third day. So you are to witness what you saw and proclaim repentance and repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So we are to be a witness, to be empowered, and then we are to be a witness to the fact that Jesus died, but he was resurrected on the third day. And then we are to proclaim repentance for forgiveness of sin to all nations, all nations. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to all nations. So this is the purpose of Jesus discipling the disciples for 3 years and then coming back and encouraging them for 40 days and then reinstating the disciples saying, feed my sheep. You follow me and be fishers of men. Then he says, you wait for the Holy Spirit to be clothed with power from high, to be a witness to the fact that Jesus died, he was resurrected, and proclaim repentance for forgiveness of sin, for their salvation. And go make disciples of all nations. That's just all part of it. But not only in Jerusalem, then once you are clothed with power, then you could go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of this, the earth, to all nations. So as much as we in our ministry love to talk about Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. We love to talk about being fishers of men. I will never get tired of singing, I will make you fishers of men. You know, because it's pretty in the central commission of Jesus. Once you're saved, once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, once your life is, you know, resurrected and healed, next thing to do, go be a witness. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He not only wants the disciple to be saved, not only those people, but through them, other people to be saved. These are some pretty major reasons why we need to wait to be clothed with power from high. And so we heard this before. I mean, I taught it, we heard it, but if we're not experiencing this as of yet, I think we need to obey his command. Wait for the promise of the Spirit. Be clothed with power from high. And long for it, even today, until we experience thoroughly more fullness of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What do you think? Does that make sense? So I wanted to just introduce this in preparation for 4 weeks from now. There'll be Pentecost. Can we hope for our Pentecost? A fresh Pentecost. Filling of the Holy Spirit for our life. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Continuation of the 40 days that Jesus stayed for the disciples and how you commanded the disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we recognize that's what you're commanding us as well, that we would wait for the filling of your Holy Spirit to be empowered, to be a witness to all nations. So God, we want to submit ourselves to your preparation for the next 4 weeks. Would you, by your grace, prepare us to celebrate Pentecost, but that it would not just be a remembrance of what happened in the past, that it would be a reality that happens to us today. And so, Lord, we entrust first myself and our church, our brothers and sisters, that we together would wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.